All right. If everybody can be as excited as the little girl in the front row, we'd have a good service today. All right. Get your Bible out. And I've got Psalm. I don't want to go to Psalm. Praise God. We're going to go instead. I'm going to get it here in a minute. Hold on. There we go. I can see a little bit now, which is really, really good. Go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Stand for the reading of the word. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to come back to it in just a second. Colossians. I didn't say Galatians. I said Colossians. Although we could use some Galatians right now. Now today's going to be probably out of all the 12 steps. Today might be the most ouchy. Y'all like ouchy sermons? Y'all like wiggly, squiggly, wormy? Get wormy in your seat. This is going to be one. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things heaven and earth, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Just leave it right there, and we're going to come back to that in just a minute, okay? Let's go ahead. Stretch forth your hands this way. Ask God for a special touch. And on it, Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well and on your throne. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to anoint us, our ears and our hearts. Help us be fertile ground, ready to receive the seeds that are getting ready to be planted. We thank you, God, that nothing's going to be said through strife or vainglory, but everything for the glorifying of your Son and the edification of the body. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name. And the church said, amen. Look, it's fine. Tell them the past is behind us. Tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Praise God. Recovery, 12 steps to find peace. Again, many people think, and I've taught this for years in a whole different way, taught it for years at Pamela or Pitt Detention Center. And do abbreviated version of this at Beaufort Detention Center. This is entirely different. This is for the church. Because you know what? This right here works not only with people that are having addiction problems. This actually helps with any kind of problems you got. And a matter of fact, does it help with life-giving problems? It helps us get back because we're all in recovery. Every last one of us. Now, here's the actual night. Get the courage to make things right. It's going to be a wiggly squiggly one. But it's come together right now over me. Have you ever heard that song? Come together right now over me. Doo, 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 doo. All right. That was John Lennon singing. But guess what? Also, Jesus Christ says that y'all come together right now over me, over what I've done for you. I want to tell you something. The two old friends met day after day met one day after many years. One attended college and was now very successful. The other had not attended college and had never had much ambition. The successful one day said, how's everything been going for you? And he said, well, one day I opened the Bible at random and I dropped my finger on a word and it was oil. So I invested all in oil and boy, did the oil wells gush. Then another day I dropped my finger on another word and it said gold. So I invested in gold and these mines have really produced. Now I'm as rich as a Rockefeller. So the successful friend was so impressed that he rushed to his hotel, grabbed a Gideon Bible, flipped it open, and dropped his finger on a page. He opened his eyes and his finger rested on the words, chapter 11. Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Some of y'all think it is. Some of you are looking at me and saying, huh? All right. So here we go. Come together right now. Over me, making things right. So I'm keep talking about all the other steps to keep some congruency here. So here it is. The truth is that every Christian is in recovery. We battle sin, we battle pride, we battle fear, we battle shame. If the truth be known, every last one of us are battling something. Every last one of us has got things in us that we know about. Some of us got things in us that we don't know about. And we're constantly battling this and don't understand why. But remember this, the gospel is a recovery story. Steps 1 and 3 are the heart of discipleship. 4 and 7 is cleansing and confession. And today, steps 8 and 9 is going to be the courage to make things right. Come together, okay? So here's step number 1 real quick. Step number 1, admit that we're powerless. Amen. There's a struggle in every one of our lives. How many in here can raise your hands and say, I don't have any struggles whatsoever? If you raise your hand, your first struggle is lying. Amen. We've all got struggles. Every last one of us. Amen. So we admit we're powerless. Romans 7 and 8 says, For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. The Amplified Version says, for I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. And that is probably, that's one of the weakest guys that's ever lived saying that. Now, that's the greatest apostle ever lived. The Apostle Paul said that. And he said the cross is what brings him and knows that he's got things together. We kind of believe there's a power greater than ourselves and can restore us to sanity. So here it is. Step 2, you got to believe in God's power. We came to believe that. Philippians 2, I just read it. Step number 3, surrender to God's care. We made a decision to turn our will and lives over to God. Now, here's some more overview. See my little steps going here across the river. Step overview, step 4. A fearless moral inventory. Step 5, confession to God and self and others. 6, readiness for God's change. 7, a humble request for God's help. Now I need y'all to give me some help here and say, Pastor, or let down the plow. Go ahead and say it again so I can hear it loud. Let down the plow. Because I'm telling you, the plow's coming right now. I just backed up, took the hair off, and got the plow going, okay? All right, get ready. Recovery is not about perfection. It's about progress. That's where a lot of people, they don't want to get in a 12-step program because they think once they make a mistake, they got to start all over again, thinking that each time they're in perfection. It's not about perfection. It's about moving forward and having some progress. And God just doesn't forgive. He transforms. And now these steps I'm getting ready to tell you are probably the hardest ones yet. As a matter of fact, like I said, this is going to be the squirmy message. This is going to be the message where you wish you had your steel toes on, and it seems to be the simplest one of all. But guess what? It's not simple, okay? Here it is. If it is possible, y'all remember possible. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, Romans 12:18. How many might think they've got some of that going on in their life? Don't raise your hand. Y'all over here by yourself and they're all over there. And instead of getting together, you're going, they're talking about me. Really? They're over there going, they're talking about me. And you find out nobody's talking about anybody. I used to know a guy, I couldn't even take him to football games. Because every time he'd get in a football game, get in the stands, and the team would get in a huddle, he'd think they were talking about him. Amen. Here we go. Get ready. I told you this is not going to be easy. Courage to make things right. Steps 8 and 9. If it is possible, meaning if it is, and sometimes it's not, I'm not crazy, sometimes it's not, as far as it depends on you, as far as you go is what he's saying. If it's possible, as far as you go, live at peace with everyone. Romans 12:18. Now, let me just tell you something. God not only heals hearts, but he empowers us. Listen carefully. Not only does God heal hearts, he heals us and or empowers us and able to heal relationships. So steps 8 and 9 invites us to live out his love by making amends and walking in reconciliation. I'm telling you, How many here's got people that you'd rather not be around? This don't say that you got to be around everybody. Doesn't mean that. Sometimes it's not safe to be around everybody. But it does mean, as if possible, as far as possible, if you know you've done something to somebody, you need to make amends. Because if you don't, you'll carry it around like a chain. Not only wrapped around your leg, but wrapped around your heart and wrapped around your spirit. So, today we're going to talk about love that heals beyond ourselves. Recovery is not just about what God does on the inside of us. It's also about what God longs to do through us. Not just in us, recovery, but through us. His love is never meant to stop at our hearts. It's meant to flow outward into our relationships. And again, listen very carefully. True healing is incomplete until we face the broken relationships in our lives. Now, to make direct amends wherever possible, except when doing so would cause harm, is what this step says. So these steps are not about guilt. They're not about shame. They're about grace. And they're about freedom. So, Matthew makes it clear. Turn to Matthew 5. 23 and 24. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Everybody's heard this. We've even said it. But do we actually know what it means? It says, "Now therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that a brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." I like what the message says. This is how I want you to conduct yourselves in these matters. If you enter into a place of worship and about to make an offering, and suddenly you remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend and make things right, and then and only then come back and work things out with God. What it's saying is God would rather we pause our worship than to ignore the brokenness that we have with others. Because the brokenness we have with others can hinder our worship with God. Again, it don't mean you got to be buddy-buddy with them. It don't mean you got to be their best pals. It just means that as far as is your possible, you need to at least clean up whatever it is between you. Okay? So here we go. Get ready. We're getting ready to jump in. Y'all ready to jump in? All right, here we go. God's love heals relationships. Remember this. Recovery is not just inward, it's outward. God's love flows through us into our relationships. So it's not something you keep to yourself. If somebody's truly got the love of God in them, if they want to make sure that God is operating through them, part of this is you got to let God work through our relationships. So step 8 says, this is hard. Make a list of all persons we have harmed, and become willing to make amends to them all. Hard, ain't it? Like my daddy used to tell me when I got, we had a 50-pound TV on a 10-pound TV tray, and you go up there and hit it and fall on you, and mama would go, my son, get him off of the TV! And daddy go, hurt, didn't it? I'm going to put you one little like my daddy. Well, when you think about making that list, hurt, don't it? Because there is some people out there that we'd rather not talk to, that we've hurt. And when we know that we've done something, I can't help what you do to me, but I can help what I do to you. Amen? So, 2 Corinthians 5:18, God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Wow. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Recovery is not just about personal healing, but it's about personal restoration. God's love is not content with brokenness. Did you know that? God don't want to heal you in one area. God wants to heal you in all areas. God don't want you walking around. I know you say it might not be so, but if you think about the list, there is. God don't want you walking around with the holy chip on your shoulder. Amen? So, God wants us to let Him heal our brokenness. Now, I want you to think about something. Think about your phone. How many's got a phone and got a contact list? You started out with 10 contacts. Now you may have 1,000 contacts. You may have 10,000 contacts. Okay, 1,400. All right. Let me tell you something about them contacts. Every last one of those contacts represents a relationship. Every one of them. Because if they weren't a relationship, you wouldn't have them in your phone. Every one of those contacts represent a relationship. Some are strong. Some are stressed. And some are broken. And our prayer should be, God, show me what I can do on my end to make things right. See, reconciliation requires two, both ends. Forgiveness requires one, me only. Reconciliation requires both ends. I'm not responsible for the other end. I'm responsible for this end. Okay? Think about it, Joseph. Let's get your Bible out and turn to Genesis 50. Genesis 50. Genesis 50, verse 20. You see, making amends is restoring relationships. And when we restore relationships, we reflect Christ in so many ways, but especially His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. Genesis 50 and 20, but Joseph has gone through 13 years of hell on earth. I mean, hell on earth. He's got scars on his ankles. He's got scars on his wrist. He's been in chains for so many years. He's been down in the dungeon where he was in human poo and all kinds of mess for all those years. But God lifted him up, and now he's prime minister over Egypt, second in charge to the king. His family comes to get grain because they're starving, and he gives them grain. And one day he comes and he reveals himself. They are scared of him. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Don't be afraid of me. I'm not God." But he says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is to this day to save many people alive." And the New Living Translation. "As far as I'm concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. He brought me to a high position I have today so I could save the lives of many people, including you, family." So, God loves to turn things around. He's a good old turnaround God. Amen? Look at this. Reconciliation is not just about personal healing. It's about relational restoration. Not just vertical, but horizontal. Hear that? Recovery is not just vertical, it's horizontal. And so that's why I say this is the squirmy one. All right? Up until now, it's between you and God. But now we're branching out. We've been vertical. But today we're going horizontal. And I can handle vertical, but I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I have a problem handling horizontal. Amen? I know I'm the only one. I might as well turn around and just preach to me today. Amen? All right. So here it is. God empowers us to make amends, rebuild trust, and to walk in freedom. Wow. How many's got relationships like that? That's a powerful thing to think about. Amen? Step 1-8. You got to be willing. Listen carefully. Healing begins with willingness. If you ain't willing, you ain't going to be healing. Making a list is not about shame. It's about freedom. God's love gives us courage to face the past. Wow. Again, like I said, this isn't one of those jumpy, run around having a good time sermons. This is an ouchie, and would you get off my back sermon? But that's okay. Because when I'm pointing one out, three are pointing back at me. I promise you. So now, step number 9. Courage to act. Step 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or injure others. Wow. That means use wisdom. A lot of wisdom when you're restoring these relationships. You just don't walk up and, because some people don't know they've hurt you. Some people don't know you hurt them. And so if you walk up and tell them, I hurt you and I'm so sorry about it, and they hadn't known this the whole time, you may really ruin a relationship. So you got to know what to do and how to do it. Now Zacchaeus, he was a short little fella. He was up in a tree trying to see Jesus. Turn to Luke 19. Do a little Bible drill here. Luke 19 and 8. I'll read a little bit further back. Let's go. Here it goes. Let's go back further. 19 verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And when he saw that, when he sought to see Jesus, who he was, he could not see for the press. The press is always getting in the way. Because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place and looked up, he saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came and received him joyfully. Now, you got to understand something. Received him joyfully, he's having a salvation experience. And when they saw it, they all murmured and saying that he was going to be guest with a man who was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. Wow. If I've cheated anybody, I'll pay it back four times the amount. Making amends is not about groveling. It's about growing. Imagine a cluttered garage. Our garage was nice and neat, and Linda's car was parked in it. And then she got sick, and we had some stuff brought in for her stuff, for her back, problems with her back. And then she gave me a grill, and I parked it in the garage because I didn't put it together. And it just kept building and building. I put a bunch of air conditioner stuff up there and just a whole bunch of stuff. And so she didn't park in that garage for quite some time. And she finally started driving. And she wasn't even driving. So she finally started driving some. And she said, I really would. I said, I need to park you close to the house so you won't get wet. And she said, do you realize we got a garage? Ding, 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 ding. And I said, but it's so full of clutter. Excuse, excuse, excuse. And she said, well, let's clean it out. Ding, 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 ding. You know where her car's parked at today? In that garage. Some of us need God to do something in our lives that we can't because we're so full of clutter like that garage. And we need to clean it out so God can park there and do something. God's trying, but he can't find a parking place because you keep your garage cluttered. And you got to let God be God. So now, I told you, this is not, this when I come to this one, this isn't my favorite ones either. It really isn't. See that stained glass window? You know what it's made up of? Broken pieces of glass. When they were first designed, the reason they were designed is they had all these pieces of glass and wanted to do something with it. And some guy said, you know what? I can make that look good. And so took it and put it all together. Well, you know what? Your life is like that. If you can see your life was all broken up and Jesus Christ put it all back together. But you also got relationships that are broken all up and God wants to put them back together into something really, really good. God's love restores. He's the ultimate reconciler. Let's go back to Colossians. I told you we would go back to Colossians. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether these things be in heaven or these things be in earth. Let's go ahead and let's look at a few more versions, kind of bring it to some understandable English. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people, things, animals, and atoms get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies all because of his death, his blood that is poured out down from the cross. And one more. And by him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth because his blood on the cross. That's a very, very, very powerful thing. So now, do you know that Jesus didn't wait for you to come to him? He didn't. He came to you and you weren't looking for him. He went in places nobody else would go to rescue you. See, he initiates. He takes the first step toward us. And he wants us not only to take a step back toward him, but take first steps in relationships. You see, forgiveness is possible because of his love. And Calvary takes away every reason for grudges. Knowing that I nailed the nails in his hands. Well, I didn't personally, physically do it, but my sin nailed the nails in his hands. Again, that picture, that stained glass window, each piece is broken on its own, it's jagged and it's sharp, but when it fits, when the artist fits it together, it becomes something beautiful. Every last one of us, we may have relationships that are cracked, but in Jesus they can be restored into something that shines his light. God's love takes broken pieces and turns them into beauty. Wow. Every time you forgive and make amends, you are showing literally the Christ in you. Matter of fact, you say, well, I give, every time I go out to the road and give to the poor, and I do this for feed at the homeless shelter, and I do all of this stuff. What did he say? The man, when you get down to the altar and leave your gift, say, have you got to give your gift? When Jesus says, when you do all the stuff, so if you've done it unto me, when he wanted to give his gift, he says, before you give your gift, leave it there, and you go find, you go work out those differences, then come back. So, you giving to the poor and doing all those things, it's great. But if you're doing it with a hard heart, honestly, you're actually doing some things in vain, and you're doing some things that are really, really small, which really needs to be big, but it can't be because your heart is so hard, it squeezes it down. So again, like I say, you ain't got to become buddy-buddies with people, but you got to make it right. Okay? So now, I'm getting ready to close. How many say won't say amen? All right. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Here it comes. Here's your daily living applications. I know you've already started writing a list in your head. I want you to write that list. I literally want you to write that list. Because you write that list, other people will come to mind. And you may have one person on that list. You may have 50 people on that list. But you put them on that list. And every day, this week, I want you to pray over that list. After you pray and ask God how to do this, because remember, sometimes you don't need to do that. Okay? If it's going to make more problems, don't do it. But here it is. After you pray over that list, take another step toward amends by writing a letter, making a phone call, or having a conversation. You see, you got to trust God with the outcome. You do it, trust God with the outcome, because your obedience honors Him, but your obedience also, when you step out, He steps back. It's like when you give. No matter how big a shovel you use to give, God uses the bigger shovel to give back. The same way in those relationships. Somebody might look at you and say, get out of my face. That's fine. I did my part. I did it. And God knows my heart. He knows I did my part. And everything is all right between me and God because that. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. So here it is. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Here we go. Freedom of love in action. Step 8, be willing. God's love makes you willing. Be courageous. God's love makes you brave. Be like both. Be like Jesus. His love makes you new. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Philippians 3, you get your Bible out. We're going to read that again too. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's read another version of this. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us to onward. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm still not all I should be. How many here is everything you should be? I'm not everything I should be. I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race. Strain, which means it's a struggle. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, calls us up to heaven. So now, be encouraged. Ready? This is one of the things I love, love, love about grace. You are not defined by your mistakes. You are defined by God's love. Everybody stand. DC, come on up here. Everybody stand. One more time, you're not defined by your mistakes. You're defined by God's love. I'm glad of that. Man, I'm glad of that. Because what I found out about mistakes and sins and trauma, they'll all lie to you. And not only will they lie to you, with those lies they mold and mold and mold around you until they hold you hostage. And you spend days or weeks, years being held bondage and hostage by the lies that your mistakes, your sins, your trauma, your struggles tell you. And you hear it so much that you believe it. And so many people have died being held hostage, when if they would just quit believing the lies and start believing God, man, oh man, what good it would be. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. If there was if there was ever any of these 12 steps, I'd rather not have preached it had been these steps right here. Steps 8 and 9, because they're so full of ouchies. I got enough ouchies as it is. Seeing 8 and 9 just brings more ouchies to the plate. Put it on the table. But at the same time, if there's one I would not want to preach, is this. If there's one I need to preach, is this. Our struggles have lied and lied and lied to us. And we need God to do something special. If you're here today, be honest. If you've allowed your mistakes, your struggles, your trauma to lie to you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, they lie to you and tell you can't get out of it. They lie to you and tell you how bad you are. They lie to you and tell you that you cannot get out of this. They lie to you and tell you that you'll never be able to amount to what God has called you to be. In other words, you cannot enter into recovery. If you've been hearing these things, nobody looking around, I want you to raise those hands. I've listened to those lies, and I've listened to those lies, and I let the enemy lie to me. Well, today, guess what? We're going to release the bondage. We're going to release being held hostage. You know, there's hostages over in the Middle East that are being released today. In the same way, some of y'all are being held hostage today, and you're going to be released. Repeat after me. Everybody, repeat after me. Father, I need you. I'm tired of being lied to by my past. I'm tired of being lied to from my mistakes. I'm tired of being lied to from my struggles. I want to be like you, Lord. I want to live in reconciliation. I want your love not only to flow to my heart, but I want it to flow through me. Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I accept you breaking every chain that I've got that's holding me back. I thank you, God, that you've given me the strength to do what I need to do. And I thank you for it. Through your power and your anointing, I rededicate my life, my ministry to you. I'm no longer held back by these chains, for you're breaking them as we pray. I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Get on a hand clap. God is doing something. He's preparing us for some powerful growth, and we got to be ready for it. And the way we get ready for it is to allow Him to work in us. We've all got to let it. There's a work. Every last one of us, He wants to work in. Amen? And so we're going to let Him. Amen? So I want you, I'm going to dare you to do something. We're doing some Bible studies now. I'm going to dare you to start coming to church on Tuesday nights. You know, we used to come to church Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night. We come all, or Wednesday night and all during the week. And we had church because we needed it. If you've ever needed it, we really need it now. We only come like once a month. You ain't getting it. You ain't getting it. Once a month ain't getting it. You got to let God be God, and you got to get up and get here. And what's going to happen is these pews will start filling up. You'll see them start filling up. So I'm daring you. Come on Tuesday night. I'm daring you also to come on Sunday morning. Because we ain't got no Sunday night. If you want to have a Sunday night service again, we'll have one. But it's got to be all of us, not one of us. Amen? All right, we're either going to win together or we're going to lose together. Amen? We win together or we lose together. Now I sound like I'm being, I used to be that football coach and that basketball coach. How about, we win together, we lose together. All right. So ready? Today. Say this with me. Today is the new beginning. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. After we say the Lord's Prayer, I want Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.